sessions today, so let's get started. There's going to be a terrific concert here on June 3rd. It will be a benefit for Family Promise and LCUUC. The flyers are coming out. Watch for them. And if you have an opportunity, pass them along to friends. John Kuhn asked me to encourage you able-bodied folks to sign up for a stint of mowing. Now, this is your opportunity to ride a deer. Tomorrow evening, Reverend Amy and Leanne will be showing the the keynote video from the Regional Assembly. And this is an opportunity to discuss the new trends discussed at the Assembly. Pack a brown bag dinner, or not, and if you have a chance, let Reverend Amy know that you plan to come. The pledge deadline is passed. If you haven't pledged and you plan to pledge, do so ASAP. If not, tell Reverend Amy that you need a waiver this year. The Sharing the Ministry sign-up starts today. Take a look at the opportunities in the social hall after the service. Then sign up for a committee that makes you happy.
Strive for it, you insist upon it, and sometimes even travel around the world looking for it. You have to participate relentlessly in the manifestation of your own blessing. And once you've achieved a state of happiness, you never, never can become lax about maintaining it. You must make a mighty effort to keep swimming upward into that happiness forever. To live afloat on top of it. Come in with joy to this place where personal effort can be supported and where all happiness is welcome. Come and let us worship here together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor on this beautiful day. Do we have a kid for the chalice? Do we have a child? Okay. Okay.
deep calls unto deep. Joy calls unto joy. Light calls unto light. Let the kindling of this flame rekindle in us the inner light of love, of peace, of hope. And as one flame lights another, nor grows the less, we pledge ourselves to be bearers of the light wherever we are. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our first hymn, number 361. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Welcome. Welcome.
Is that on?
Oh, is it on? Okay. And again, welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to infuse everything we do with a spirit of love. My name is Sue Andrews, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. We are a welcoming congregation. No matter what your generation, silent, that's me, go figure, boomer, X, or millennial, you are welcome here. Whether you are straight or curved or just a bit kinky, you are welcome here. No matter how happy you are, whether you smile, giggle, or guffaw, you are welcome here. Please join us after the service for a snack fest in the social hall to celebrate our volunteers. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table and learn more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements, important announcements. Please read them carefully. You can like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook and be alerted to upcoming activities, or check out our website, lcuuc.org, for all sorts of interesting information. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence your communicators. And again, welcome. to all here this morning. We are so pleased to have you, that you have chosen to worship and celebrate with us here today.
Oh,
One of the ways that we help to take care of our community is by contributing to our local food pantries. And every month we give non-perishable food items, and we do contribute money at regular intervals. So if you've brought food items to share, please bring them up and put them in the basket, or have a child bring them up for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story today. Our story for today is Mary Colson and the Hen Who Wouldn't Be Baptized. One day when Mary Colson was 10, she heard a terrible, terrible noise coming from out in the hen house. And she had seen her dad walking that way. And what she heard was, bark, 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 and chickens running. So she went running out, and all she could hear was, bark, 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 bark. And when she got out there, she saw her dad had a hatchet in his hand. And he was chasing one of the chickens. And first he'd run this way, and then he'd run that way, and the chicken would run ahead of him, and he couldn't quite catch it. But she noticed the chicken was limping on one leg. So you can imagine this, bark, as the chicken ran. And she said, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, well, this chicken broke its leg, I think. It's going to be dinner, honey. And Mary said, stop it. I won't let you kill that chicken. I like that chicken. It deserves to live. I like it. I'm going to be a chicken doctor. And her dad said, well, okay. I guess we can have beef for dinner. Okay, be a chicken doctor. So Mary took the chicken. And she put a splint on his leg. She went and got some wood. And she tied it up to the chicken's leg. So now when the chicken ran, it went bark, thump, bark, thump. But it could run a little bit. And she watched it. And the hen started to follow her around. Because it kind of liked her because she'd been taking care of it. So here'd go Mary with her bucket. And here would come the chicken. Bark, thump, bark, thump. And eventually its leg healed and it walked normally again. But by then, this hen followed her everywhere. So Mary would get up in the morning and she would go out and she would feed the chickens. And here would go Mary. And right behind her, bark, would be this chicken. And she'd go to school. And right behind her would be, bark, this chicken. He followed her everywhere. And Mary decided, you know what? I'm going to start to tell this chicken things. It's my friend. And she told the chicken, you know what? When I grow up, I want to be a doctor. The chicken went, bark. She said, or maybe a teacher. And the chicken went, bark. She said, or how about a minister? And the chicken went, moo. Bark. Mary said, okay, maybe I've got something here. She knew her hen approved of being a minister. And she especially knew it when she tried to play doctor with the chicken. She would take it and she would practice putting bandages on it, and the chicken would go, bark! And she'd have to take all the bandages off. Someday she tried to play school with the chicken. She'd put it in the desk, it would get down. She'd put it on the desk, it would get down. She'd put it on the desk, it would poop on the desk and get down. And she'd try to teach it its ABCs, and it would go, bark, and get down. But on her favorite day, she played preacher. And she would put the hen in a pretend pew, and she would preach to it. Now, hen, let me tell you about the world. And the hen would go, bark. And it would listen. So she figured she had something with this preaching thing. And sometimes she would marry the hen. Hen, I now pronounce you married. And the hen would go, bark. It was pretty okay with that. And someday she'd hold a funeral. Hen, I commend you to the hereafter. And the hen would go, ah. So she still figured she had it right. And she married that hen and buried that hen and preached at that hen week after week. But one day she got it in her mind, huh, the one thing I've never done is baptize a hen. We're Unitarians. We don't do that much, but I wonder if I should practice. So she went and got a big tub of water, and she picked up the hen. She said, "Hen, I'm going to baptize you. I baptize thee in the name of God." And she went to put it in the water, and they went, "Bah! Bah, 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 bah." And it wouldn't get in the water. And it splashed her, and it fought. She said, "Okay, let's try this again. Hen, I baptize you." And as soon as she got the water, bah, 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 and the hen absolutely refused to be baptized. It would be married and buried and preached at, but she could not baptize that hen. Playing minister was Mary's favorite game, and she liked playing teacher, she liked doctor, but the hen wouldn't cooperate. But she loved playing minister. The hen at least listened when she preached. Mary grew up in Humboldt, Iowa in the late 1800s with lots of Unitarians. And the ministers in the town were two women who also taught school. So Mary figured out, I can too be a minister. When she grew up, she joined a group of women ministers called the Iowa Sisterhood. And these women went out and they opened churches all across Iowa. As a grown-up, Mary would see kids playing with their pets, and so she would tell them the story about how she married and buried and preached to and almost baptized the hen. But the hen just wouldn't be baptized. And the kids would laugh, and Mary would laugh, and she'd tell them, and that's why we don't do it. We just don't baptize. No way to get the practice. Thank you all for listening to my story today. And if I could have my lantern bearer. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if you all would help me in singing the children to their classrooms, the words are written in your order of service. This is the one point in the service that normally is quite funny, and today I'm going to be quite serious, flipping things a little. There was a terrible earthquake last week on Saturday, which shook Nepal. So far, it has claimed over 6,000 lives. They are still finding people. Towns and villages near the epicenter of the quake have had almost total devastation, according to the Red Cross. Our own Unitarian Universalist Service Committee is gathering funds to help in the relief efforts. And our Social Action Committee had asked that today we take our collection as a special collection to go to the UUSC to help. Any loose cash or coins will go to the Nepali relief effort, and if you're putting in a check, please indicate on the memo line if you want it to go to LCUUC or to the collection. And if I could have one of the ushers come up to get mine for this. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thank you so much for your generosity for the life and the work of this community and in the world. It's important that every service we share together as a community, that we share the good and the bad, the joys and the concerns, the things that make us happy and the things that make us sad. I'd ask that anyone who has something to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone. I would like to light the first candle today. It's a candle of joy for all the work that's been done on our sanctuary remodel and the wonderful progress we are making and the wonderful people who have helped to do all this good work. What a joy.
And Christy, if you could please light a candle for Robert. His father is having a lot of health problems and his parents are still living in their home and it's becoming increasingly difficult for them.
Good morning, my name's Will. A candle of sorrow for our family in the passing of my mother and the challenges that still lay ahead for my family.
It's Mike, a couple of candles of joy. Helen's recovering quickly. And my daughter, Nicole, received an award from CNET, and they came this past Tuesday to Kettle Moraine High School for a presentation. And the superintendent and village of the school district and the village president of Wales also presented some awards and made presentations. So this is for a video they made regarding same-sex marriage and the controversy in Wisconsin, which so this was an award for the honorable mention out of 2,300 entries nationwide. So kudos to her.
And if you haven't seen the video yet, please watch it. They did an amazing job.
My name is Claire. I have a joy. We've just returned from Spring Youth Con in Naperville, and amidst the lack of sleep, it was a very wonderful experience. I am so blessed to be working with these kids. They are so great. They all gave me a shout-out during their bridging ceremony yesterday, and it was really special. So my heart is smiling today.
This is Diane. And I had my second great-grandchild. She's a beautiful girl, 8 pounds, 13 ounces. And her sister, Elena, loves her, thank heaven.
Hi, I'm Barb. What candle of joy. A candle of joy for a visit home about a week and a half ago. So wonderful to be with my family. And also a candle of concern. Each of my sisters have some life challenges, and part of it involves health for both of them. So a candle of concern and some prayers for healing. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Terry, and I'm going to do a joy and concern. So when I walked into the services today, there were so many people that I felt so happy to see and say hi to and hug, and I just feel a lot of joy in being part of this community. As far as the concern is concerned, somehow I got to be the head of the fundraising committee, and I'm putting in a plug that I need some help, you guys. So when we go into the little snack fest after services, I'd really love to talk with some of you if you would be willing to help with some fundraising. And it's a lot of fun. We can have a lot of fun doing it together.
All right, and we light our last candle today for every joy and every sorrow that is deeply held but which has not been spoken here.
The first reading are excerpts from The Betterness Manifesto by Umar Haki, a millennial. So you want to build a better 21st century, but how? It's up to each of us. Want betterness? Betterness doesn't begin with others, it begins with you. Creating a better 21st century means choosing to stop living in the 20th century. So what can you do? Here are 8 ways to kickstart betterness. Invest. More specifically, stop investing in corporations that don't do good. Put your money where your mouth is and support companies that are, yes, profitable, but that profit by doing meaningful stuff that matters the most. Stop investing in bad, start investing in good. Allocate. It's a mystery why so many keep their money parked in big banks that bleed them dry through bailouts. Move your money to a better bank, a local bank, a community bank, a bank that hasn't needed a bailout, or a totally new kind of bank. Cut. Consume less. Do you really need another pair of designer jeans, 3 soy mocha frappuccinos a day, or a bigger TV? Really? Betterness happens not through naked, aggressive consumption of disposable, mass-produced stuff, but by learning to spend your hard-earned cash on smaller amounts of awesome stuff that's made with love, ethics, and passion. Work. You're worth something. Stop giving your talent away to organizations that misallocate it, underutilize it, possibly even abuse it. If you're doing something meaningless, quit. Betterness can't happen if you're spending your life churning out toxic junk. It can only happen when more meaningful work is done. Find a company that's better. Better yet, start one. Live. If you're living somewhere meaningless, move. Exurban sprawl, mega highways, big box stores. That was the American dream in the 20th century. Move somewhere where there's a local community made up of passionate, talented people, a community you can nurture, and that nurtures you. It just might be good for your soul. Civilize. We've forgotten what civics means. Join civil society. Become a volunteer. Mentor someone. Get involved with a local nonprofit. Do something that has, in the parlance of economists, positive externalities, an activity that benefits others more than it benefits you. The basis of civilization is not naked self-interest, it's shared interest. Support. Support what you think matters. Want a thriving democracy? Buy a newspaper. Want haute couture? Stop buying fast fashion. Want green energy? Invest in going off grid. Every choice you make with your money, time, and effort reflects your true support for betterness. Reflect. The 20th century was built never to allow room for reflection, only work. Take time out, no matter what. Pick a favorite place, a cafe, restaurant, park, or avenue. Hang out and reflect. What would betterness mean in your life? How are you helping betterness happen? How could you help betterness happen? Without time to reflect on those questions and explore and refine your own answers, none of the above can happen. None of this is easy, and no, it won't magically create a paradise overnight or possibly ever. These aren't the only paths to betterness or even the best ones. It is only by accepting the hard truth of personal responsibility for yesterday that each of us can begin to create a better tomorrow. Real change doesn't begin with governments, presidents, or prime ministers. It begins with each of us. Every revolution begins from the bottom up. Fed up with the status quo? Tired of the 20th century? Then don't just talk about it. Reject it and refuse it. Build a better 21st century instead. One of history's greatest builders once said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." Let me update Gandhi's wisdom for the next decade. Want a revolution? Be the revolution you want to see in the world. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a moment of silent meditation or the spirit of prayer.
This is an excerpt from "Happiness as Defined by Millennials Doesn't Look Like It Used to" by millennial Lindsay Lazarte. I'm a first generation American. My parents came to the United States during the 1970s. They left everything they knew behind in hopes of greater opportunities and to provide a better future for my sister and me. It didn't take too much to make them happy. They were grateful for their good health, a loving family, and a roof over their heads. That's all they ever wanted, and it was good enough for them. Can we ever go back to having that mentality? Millennials were born with technology that influences our every decision. It provides us with unlimited resources that we rely on heavily. It's like having an all-access pass to the entire world. Generations before us were not as fortunate to have such resources at their literal fingertips. In this day and age, we are encouraged to do more, have more, and to be more. And this is actually the terrifying part. We have the ability to pursue whatever we want, whether it requires a college degree or not. Millennials have created a movement in taking alternative routes out of traditional lifestyles. We no longer want to be confined to the restraints of the norm. Instead of getting a job, getting married, or settling down, we are more focused on ourselves. We are redefining happiness because we aren't taking others into consideration the way generations before us did. We are finally going after our own wants and needs because we can. We're the ones who get to be selfish. Does this make us happy in the long run, though? When will we ever stop wanting more? We have to acknowledge what is worth sacrificing because we'll ultimately have to decide whether or not we have gained or lost more than we sought to chase. As Ferris Bueller once said, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 311, Let It Be a Dance.
Thank you. The world keeps changing. It moves faster and faster. We get bombarded with everything from videos, pages on the web, information blasts, movies and television, and yet, still happy. Still possible to be happy. I first met George, which is not his real name, when I was working for a really large continuum of care community, well-funded, beautiful place. He was very frail and very old. But when he walked, you could see the shoulders back and the determination. You could tell there was something there. He was a Marine. He was the son and grandson of Marines. Graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy, and he'd gone to Quantico. He gave his life to the Corps. And when he finally retired, it was to teach military history. And he was showing me his scrapbooks one day, and I'm sure I said something vaguely meaningless, like, oh, wow, you must have really wanted to be a Marine. And there was this long pause, and, you know, I'm looking around the room at all his Corps memorabilia. And he said, actually, I wanted to be a ballerina. There was this silence. Needle drop. Cricket. Cricket. Where do you go with that? And I said, a ballerina. He said, you know, not like a sissy thing. A boy ballerina. I wanted to be a ballet dancer. And I said, really? He said, yeah, like that Russian, Vasilov Nijinsky. I read about him, and I knew that was for me. He created modern dance. He was amazing, and he went into this description of the dance. And I said, so how did you end up as a Marine? And he said, I went and I told my mom, I want to dance. Mom, look, I can do it. And she told my dad that's how it went back then. And I got a spanking and he signed me up for boxing lessons. Would you have been able to make it as a dancer? I asked. He said, I don't know. I don't know. But I sure would have been happy. I sure would have been happy. And he pulled open a drawer and he showed me something he had kept since he was a little boy. It was a little ballet dancer figure. He'd kept it all those years. It mattered to him, this little celluloid plasticky thing. He said, I would have been happy. For people born before 1927, this was ridiculous. You didn't go pick your job to be happy, you hippie. You picked your job to support your wife, if you were male, to support your wife and your kids. And if you were female, you didn't pick your job at all. If you had to work, it was as a teacher or nurse until you got married to some nice man who would take care of you. The Greatest Generation fought in World War II. They survived the Great Depression. They weren't kidding around. They were focused on community. They were civic-minded. We were all in this together. They had an absolute or near-absolute sense of right and wrong. They paid cash. They did without. For them, happy was what you were if you could afford a little house. Maybe even a car. Maybe a nice radio. Happy was being able to have a few hours in the evening to have a beer with the neighbors. Maybe play a little cards, be able to buy food for the kids, let the wife have that pretty necklace she wanted. You're happy. And if you quietly dreamed of being a ballerina, well, you kept your mouth shut because that was just ridiculous. The Silent Generation was born between 27 and 45, and they grew up with jazz and Vietnam and Korea, peace and the birth of rock and roll. Relative prosperity was starting and the beginnings of the civil rights movement. They loved to read. The worst thing teachers had to deal with was a little chewing gum, or maybe two boys doing this out on the patio after school. Happiness was knowing who you were. Security mattered. It wasn't about expressing yourself, but being comfortable in your place. And everybody knew what their place was. Then, oh Lord, the boomers arrived and arrived and arrived and kept arriving. They were born before 1965, and they didn't really know their neighbors, but they wanted the whole world to be a better place. Women began to work outside the house, and happiness suddenly revolved around me, not us. Credit cards started to be used. Both parents worked, and people could suddenly afford hobbies and interests they'd never really looked at. The world was changing. What made you happy? Maybe you could get it. Maybe you could reach it. And then Generation X showed up, my generation. We didn't particularly care about the world, but we liked our neighborhoods. In fact, the world could kind of go to hell as far as many of us were concerned. We loved things and we wanted them now. Happiness was having more than you can use and better than someone else. We were the first generation to marry late and divorce early. We grew up with brand names and we knew that whoever died with the most toys wins. And winning was everything. Looking at the boomers and Gen X, Nigel Marsh wrote, "There are thousands and thousands of people out there leading lives of quiet, screaming desperation where they work long, hard hours at jobs they hate to enable them to buy things they don't need, to impress people they just don't like." The millennials came along after 1981. They are the 9/11 generation. They've never known a world without computers. Sometimes they get overwhelmed by all the things coming at them and how attached to everyone they are. They're different from anything that's come before, and their version of happiness is something we need to talk about, because our country has become a strange place. According to the New York Times, the richest 1% in the U.S. now own more wealth than the bottom 90%. And they had a bunch of numbers, and they're easy to find if you want to look for them. And the fact that goes with that is most people don't realize that. They mischaracterize that wealth gap. Those are the numbers. The average employee needs to work a month to earn what the CEO of their own company earns in an hour. Happiness is no longer about who has the best toys, the best job, the nicest watch, or summer home. And the world that Nigel Marsh was commenting on is starting to change. Everything happens too fast. The thing that was the best thing ever that you were going to save up for 5 years is now passé 6 months after you start saving, and a new best thing has come along. Jobs, they change, they die. Companies are born and die, sometimes in the same year. The millennials can't expect to find a job and work there for 30 years. The business probably won't be there in 30 years. Median household incomes are stuck around $51,900. And the cost of a year of private college education is $31,300. Public education's better at $9,000 a year, but average student loan debt for someone with a four-year degree is around $33,000. That's more than a year's salary for a lot of people in the U.S. And crushed under student loan debt, unable to find jobs or buy homes, the millennials are redefining what's important in life: happiness, personal fulfillment, experiences, working to live, not living to work. All these things line up with the core values that we as Unitarian Universalists promote. That first reading is not you. It's an economist telling a group of millennials, a group of nuns, how to make the world a better place. And it lines up exactly in every aspect with what we're saying about how to live your life, except we're seeing them do it. The old cocktail party question, so what do you do for a living, is starting to have little meaning these days, because while the only job someone may be able to get is at Subway or cleaning houses, the person may only work there to finance their yearly travel to Cambodia and Vietnam to build schools. The question today is, what makes you happy? What fulfills you? What are you called to do regardless of how you manage to pay for it? Not what have you got. What do you love? The song the choir did today, Pharrell Williams' Happy, speaks to this. It was used as the theme song for Despicable Me 2. And if you have not seen that, I recommend it. The video for it is adorable, for the song with the little orange minions running around. The video you saw was people across the world who truly felt happy because of that song. But here's what you didn't see. The young Iranians dancing here. The folks from three different sites were arrested immediately after filming this. And they knew they would be. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't an ambush. They were told very clearly, if men and women dance together, you will be arrested. And they did it anyway. It made them happy. And they said that. 91 lashes and a year in prison for each of them. The sentences are currently suspended on the grounds they don't do it again. Each one of them is planning to do it again. Different definitions of doing what makes you happy, doing what calls to you, and dealing with the consequences. Pharrell recorded a video of the song at the Grammys. In it, his dancers were wearing hoodies, black hoodies and white gloves. And at two different points, they did this. Hands up, don't shoot. And what he said during the interview was it was about recognizing the need for change and that bad things happen and refusing, absolutely refusing with every part of your being to let them define you. Saying, I see it. I will stand in witness to this. I see it. And it will not take my joy. It will not take my life. I can fight, and I can still be joyous. I can still find happiness. I can be defined not by what I hate, not by what I'm afraid of, but what I love. You are not your job. You are not how much you have or what designer you wear. You're not your neighborhood or your school or your parents or who you love. Or what church you attend, you are not defined by this. You are defined by what makes you happy, what brings a smile to your face and joy to your heart, what makes you truly present in the world. The millennials have it right. If you love to make art, you are an artist. I don't care if you work at a gas station. You are what you love. Dare to define yourself by your joy. Define yourself by what you do to reflect who and what you are. Define the peace that you have to keep leaving out, the peace that you never have time for. And if you find that doing what you love is that peace that you have to leave out, maybe look at what changes you need to make. It's the important part. Because I'll tell you, George never got to dance. But his grandson is a member of the Cincinnati Ballet Corps, and he is amazing. and George saw him dance before he passed. It took two generations to correct, but he saw his grandson dance, and it made him happy. And one of the most wonderful things about this church is that for so many of you, it gives you that place to be happy. It gives you that place to give the best of yourself. It gives you that place to do things that maybe aren't what you do for a living. You come here to seek and grow and to find community and to do the things you love. And as part of our service today, I want to recognize all of you who have done the things you loved and helped us to build this church. I want to say thank you to all of you who've shared your abilities, who volunteered in so many different ways. And I'm going to ask you to rise as we go. I want to start with having Nancy thank our musicians. They have helped us over this year.
I'm so happy to be able to thank everyone who's been part of LCUC's music ministry this past year. You'll be amazed at how many of you there are. I ask you to stand up as I call your name or your group. I'm going to start with our intergenerational choir. A lot of our volunteers are teaching RE also or doing other things. But if you've been part of the choir the last year, stand up. Our children's choir, none of whom are here right now. Our teen choir that shared their ministry at the chorale service, the men's choir that you will hear from next Sunday, and our women's choir that sang at the Women's Spirit Conference. Then Christy Ayler, who got our music committee up and running this year. Tracy Moraine, who accompanies our intergenerational choir. And all of our special musicians who've done solos or performed in groups. Some of you several times and in various groups. Brass choirs led the congregation in singing. Greg Valdi, Karen Haskell, Tracy Moraine, Doug Esty, Laura Levenhagen, Sheila Larkin, Megan Fetters, the Nieves family, the Prangy Morgan family, Layla Worth, Morgan Moraine, Holly Esty, Rob Sewer, our teens, Abby Lewis, Bjorn Larson, Jessica Kennedy, Sarah Stout, Will Esty, Ingrid Chim, Alexis Fergese, Maya Sandin, the Lost Souls Band, Doug Esty, Greg Valdi, Tim Fuller, Dave Cicero, John Presby, Caleb Say, who you'll hear next week, and then our wonderful support team, Amy Say, who's recorded our special services with photography, our sound tech guys who show up early every Sunday morning to help us get set up, Dennis Ulichny, Carl Tim, and John Stout, and even our page turners, Eric Moraine and Doug Esty. Thank you to everybody.
And stay standing because we're going to keep getting up here. Could I have anyone who has helped with coffee hour or baking please stand up? Come on, Diane. all my bakers and helpers with coffee hour. Could I have anyone who has helped with any of the remodeling projects, the bathroom, the sound booth, the sanctuary remodel, or the fire pit? Stand up. Anybody who's with the Facilities Maintenance Council and Committee, Jerry Flakis and Company, please stand up. Form and Function, anybody who's helped with Form and Function, led by Kirsten Johnson, stand up. Anybody with the Caring Circle, led by Diane McBain, please stand up. Lynn Smith and the Fun and Fellowship Committee, if you've helped make sure we had a nice time, stand up. Al Haskell and Membership, stand up. Paula Hillman and the Finance Council, if you've helped with that, if you've helped been a money counter or a collector, stand up. Fundraising and Terry Silverman, stand up. Stewardship, Mark Brewer and Megan Fetters. All the RE folk are not here right now. We're going to do a special recognition of them. But if you've been with adult RE, if you've taught a class, if you've helped plan classes, come on, stand up. Public presence with Claire Johnson, if you've helped with that, stand up. Our technology folk, John Stout is not here today. Carl Tim. Denominational affairs, Jim Hansen, stand up. And Green Sanctuary, Ray Grosh and his folks, stand up if you've helped with Green Sanctuary. Social Action, Jerry Flakus and Tammy Wolfgram, Robert Ayler, Betsy Foss Campbell, stand up. Hospitality, if you've helped, if you've been an usher or greeter, stand up. And Worship Arts, if you've served on Worship Arts, stand up. If you've helped to take pictures or promote the church, stand up. If you've served on the committee of ministry or on the board, stand up. And then look around. How amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Give yourselves a hand. And yeah, you can sit down. Thank you for doing what makes you happy. Thank you for sharing it with us. After church today, we do have snacks out there for everyone. Sharing the ministry begins today. Sign up to do what it is you love. Sign up to do what makes you happy. Amen.
May your mind be glad. May your heart be happy. May your spirit be sustained. May your fire be seen. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 131, Love Will Guide Us.
Inside us, will lead the way on the road from greed to giving. Love will guide us. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot speak before thousands,
go in happiness, go in service. Our RE classes have one last musical piece today to recognize, to bless, and to thank our many volunteers. Please come to the social hall immediately following the service and enjoy the goodies for you. So if you would, have a seat, and the RE class has something for you.
Be helping round the building when they come. Thank you. They'll be helping round the building when they come. Thank you. They'll be donating and fixing, volunteering, planning, assisting. They'll be helping round the building when they come. Thank you. They'll help all our Sunday services go well. Thank you. They'll help all our Sunday services go well. Thank you. There'll be greeters, ushers, sound check, worship reps, and guest musicians. They'll help all our Sunday services go well. Thank you. Keep the money flowing in our church. Thank you. They'll help keep the money flowing in our church. Thank you. They'll help fundraise and as pledgers make donations and count money. They'll help keep the money flowing in our church. Thank you. They'll help teach our youth about our principles. Thank you. They'll help teach our youth about our principles. Thank you. There'll be story baskets, lessons, field trips, mentor service projects. They'll help teach our youth about our principles. Thank you. There'll be LCUUC Zone Fix-It Crew. Thank you. There'll be LCUUC Zone Fix-It Crew. Thank you. They'll do plumbing, painting, fixing, sawing, cleaning, and installing. They'll be LCUUC Zone Fix-It Crew. Thank you. There'll be groups to stimulate our minds and hearts. Thank you. There'll be sessions to stimulate our minds and hearts. Thank you. There'll be Socrates Cafe, Blink TED Talks, and Lake Country Concerts. They'll lead groups to stimulate our minds and hearts. Thank you. They'll provide the chance to help our neighbors out. Thank you. They'll provide the chance to help our neighbors out. Thank you. They'll do family promise, hope center, and food pantry donations. They'll provide the chance to help our neighbors out. Thank you. They'll attend a ton of meetings just for us. Thank you. They'll attend a ton of meetings just for us. Thank you. There'll be worship, RE music, social justice, form and function, green sanctuary, fun and fellowship, public presence, stewardship, membership, finance, ministry, leadership development, fundraising, adult enrichment, worship arts, and of course the board. They'll attend a ton of meetings just for us. Thank you. They'll be helping round the building when they come. Thank you. They'll be helping round the building when they come. Thank you. They'll do more than we can mention in one simple little song. They'll be helping round the building when they come. Thank you so much.
That's easy. my friends who got this big apartment in their house for their brother and his entire place. And Donna says, oh, we're just going to move in with you. And she goes, oh, well, yeah, maybe for a week.
She thought I was serious.
She got all nervous, you know.